down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
I'm well.
Okay. I just want to touch on a few points. I really thank the authorities for what they're doing, the effort that they're making.
Yes.
And the messages that they're sending out to the public. And it leaves for the public now to adhere and follow those rules and be disciplined, because sometimes you are not as disciplined as you ought to. And we pray that we be more disciplined and show and practice good hygiene. Now, I'm also encouraged that the churches are following the instructions from the authorities there, closing the churches. And I know that there are some persons who were not in agreement with that, but it's important for the public to know that the church needs to follow the laws of the land, and we are. So I thank all those leaders who adhere and close the churches and actually use Facebook and other means to actually get across the message. Also, in these hard times, in these times where it would tell us and show us who are really serving God, because if you're going to only serve God within the sanctuary, the walls of the sanctuary, and you cannot open your Bibles at home, it says a lot about where you stand in the faith. Yes, there's a lot of talk about social distancing. I want to ask you a question. Do you have to wear face masks as you enter the supermarket?
No, not as far as I know.
Okay. Now, what I would like to add is that I think it should be a requirement, because of most supermarkets are enclosed and air conditioning is running. And at some point of time, yes, you might have 25 individuals in the supermarket or customers, but what about the staff that also work in the supermarket, which you can obviously have more than 25 individuals in the supermarket, including cashiers and supervisors and what's not. I would suggest that individuals wear masks.
Why?
In the
why would you expect us to take your advice on that as distinct from listening to the health professionals on it?
Okay. Now, when we tune into CNN and Fox and all those different news agencies, and the doctors are advising individuals, and as you see that, when you look overseas, all the first responders, they're wearing masks, they're masked up. The policemen, the soldiers, all those persons.
World Health Organization says this. This is what they're saying. If you are healthy, you only mm-hmm. need to wear a mask if you're taking care of a person with suspected suspected virus. Wear a mask mm-hmm. if you are coughing or sneezing. Masks are effective only when used in combination with frequent hand cleaning with alcohol-based hand rub or mm-hmm. soap and water. If you wear a mask, then mm-hmm. you must know how to use it and dispose of it properly as well. That's
okay.
What this is what the World Health Organization says about the okay. use of the mask.
Okay, and that's okay, but I realize as time go on, if you learn more, they're changing as time go on. So they're also saying that the persons that they believe that is already spreading it are the persons who are asymptomatic, those persons who are not showing any signs that those are the individuals that are really spreading the virus. So what I'm saying is that an extra barrier would not pose harm, because you might not show signs now, but the time that you step in the supermarket, you might sneeze.
Okay, look. I can't. There are people who mm-hmm. may feel more comfortable doing that. If mm-hmm. they do that, they ought to follow the rules associated with it.
Before
putting on a mask, you must mm-hmm. clean your hands with alcohol-based hand rub or soap and water. Mm-hmm. You
True.
Cover your mouth and nose with the mask and make sure that there are no gaps between your face and the mask. Avoid touching the mask while using it. If you do, clean your hands with alcohol-based hand rub or soap and water. Replace the mask with a new one as soon as it is damp, and do not reuse single-use masks. And to remove the mask, remove it from behind. Do not touch the front of it. Discard immediately in a closed bin and clean hands with alcohol-based hand rub or soap and water. So I am not here to say to you that if you feel that you need to wear a mask, that you shouldn't wear one. But remember, you got to follow certain guidelines in using it, okay?
And I totally agree with what you said just now, because it don't make sense contaminating the mask and then have it on.
All right.
And I totally agree with you. Also, I would like to, I know there are persons who are, seems to be a little, I don't want to say over the edge right now, hearing individuals talking about ships in the port, how, I mean, off the island and what's not, and being all scared. But I agree with what you said in that we have the infection, we have the virus on land. Right, and we need to deal with it here, because some of the times we believe that the persons that are outside the island are bringing it in, but it's already here already. We have to deal with what is here at present.
Okay.
And, okay, thank you. Right.
Thank you very much. BIMAP says exams have been postponed, and they will give a new date for the exam. Okay? That's what we're hearing from BIMAP. Hello?
Morning, sir.
Morning.
At least we know one thing about BIMAP, that it listens to this program. Anyway, Mr. Ellis, a couple of things. First of all, I want to tell people that don't understand ships and shipping to stay away from the subject. Don't be critical about Sunny and on a handboat. And I am in total agreement with you when you say our concern is not the ships, but the people coming on the planes, because all the corona that we are experiencing in this country came as a result of planes. I'm in total agreement with that. However, you there?
I'm listening.
Yeah. However, I want to ask a question. Now, I go to the phlebotomy department every 3 months to give blood, and then 2 days after, I have to go back then to the anticoagulation clinic. Now, I was told that clinics in the hospital have been canceled or postponed, whatever they say it is. But you still have to go to the phlebotomy department to give blood. And anybody who goes there will tell you that that is a very small space for about 40, 50, 70, 60 people in any given day that people go there to give blood. And a lot of those persons, that are there are people in wheelchairs. The last time I was there, I had a schoolboy. And I want to know if they have any plans for the phlebotomy department where you can go, as opposed to having all the people go there. I want one of these other places that you can go, and the blood will still be sent to the lab at the QVH to be tested, because that is a very choke-up area, and it is really not good enough. The other thing I want to mention, too, is that they give a number, 536-4500, and tell you can call that if you have any queries. I attempt to call that number twice for the day, and all it was told that I will have to call back. And I want to know how you can give people an emergency number, and then we call it, they tell you to call back.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
I was following you from all morning, and in relation to, there was a lady who called concerning the buses, sanitizing the buses, but I picked up the paper the same time, and on today's paper, page 5, a notice from the Government Information Service, Ministry sanitizing buses daily. So I don't know if you could make that as a reliable point of view, your item, because it says here that
I didn't think that was the issue, though.
No, but what
she raised, the caller that I remember on this was one who was worried about the social distancing. So no matter how much they sanitize the place, that does not address the social distancing factor.
I'll come to the social distancing factor. For what I've read here, The transport board have given a clearance that they will sanitize the various terminals, for example, Cheapside, River Road, and the Constitution. But I don't know if you're well aware that there are more than 25 people who assembled at any one time in the Constitution terminal in relation to waiting to catch a van to go where they be
started. So what would you tell those people?
Well, if I read what I read today, ministry sanitizing buses daily, and they're also sanitizing buses that are under their direct control. So then I would believe that as far as the buses are concerned, more than 25 people are in that area waiting for transportation at any one given time. Two, that the vehicles of which they're supposed to be traveling on are actually under the control of government, and that they should also be sanitized. If you take the what I call the Fortabel, the cheap-sized terminal, you've got down there several buses that play the Wanstead plant, the Consortium plant, the Grosex area. And you've got an area more than 25 people assembled at any one time also to get transportation. Then, but they're not telling you that they're working towards the minibuses of Wanstead, minibuses of Hodesville, or the minibuses of Gazette. So I'm wondering if this press release from Government Information Service really covers what they intend to say for what you just asked me. That I believe that somewhere along the line, that as far as Cheapside is concerned, as far as the Constitution is concerned, that somewhere along the line, that if government said it's sanitizing buses that are under their control, then somewhere along the line that there are some areas that will not be sanitized. So this release, which I've read today, does not give me a clear picture of government involvement in sanitizing the transport system of Barbados of which they're responsible. Have you read it?
No, I haven't.
It's on page five, next to the heading of farmers. Some farmers are ready, and it gives you a breakdown. But then it gives you a confusing breakdown to the essence of the situation not clearly clarified. And if you go over to the Hill of Constitution, now you're going to see more than 25 people waiting to get to various parts of the country.
They tell me that if you go up where the boardwalk to have something to eat in the evening, you can see more than 25 rats running about up there too.
That's true. As a matter of fact,
and they say they are big rats. The person who spoke to me last night, tell me, what really got him was the extent to which the rats were really bold. It seemed as though they saw themselves as pets rather than, you know, we would call it the pestilence.
they have now taken over the town rats.
But seriously. How can we be talking about all the cleaning up and that sort of thing? There has to be a concerted campaign against the rodent population in the country. Why is it taking government so long to put something in motion? Certainly, I know, like everything else, the government cannot do it alone. But there is a need for a partnership between government and the private sector interests in trying to do more about this. Bridgetown is a mess. And now up there by the boardwalk, where they have got an increase in the number of food establishments, all of that, as a matter of fact, somebody pointed out to me that a lot of these new places just seem to have crept up just so. You know, nobody heard about tenders and that sort of thing for these people to operate, all right? We know that one of them got a 12-year extension under the Dems. We don't know what happened since 2018 that we have had so many of them spring up in that general area, just like overnight, you know?
You know what, Mr. Ellis, one of the things that we need to look at, even in the area of Hero Square, there's certain well-organized organizations who normally feed people in that area. And witnessing this weekend, there were more than 25 people again gathered waiting for food.
So magical about I really wanted to find out, what's the science behind picking 100? What's the science between picking 25? What's to stop us from saying 5? you know, you recognize that, let's say, the feeding of these people, these vagrants in Bridgetown, will certainly be over 25 when you look at it on some occasions.
Right.
But at the end of the day, Mark, this is our problem. Our problem is that we need to indulge in practices and behavior that will reduce the spread of this disease. We already know that it can spread if I am talking to you one-on-one, if I'm doing an interview with you and I'm too close. One person, one other person can make that difference. So all these other numbers that we're playing with right here and now, at the end of the day, we're just creating an environment that will help to spread this thing. All right? So for you and I know, have to recognize that and say, look, they could say 1,000, they could say 100. I know for sure that if I am in an environment where I am close to other people, I have to keep my distance. That's what we need to encourage.
I want to break down something we do, Mr. Ellis, because I know we think alike sometimes. 25 people, and you're talking about sanitizing, you're talking about public transport. People sit next to people, and there are more than 25 people at any one time in any van. As far as that is concerned, you go to the prescription pharmacy, the surgical department in the community hospital. You pull a number.
Right. Let's accept that. So what do you think is the appropriate answer to the problem?
I would think that a time scaling would be important. Just off the hat. If you intend to accommodate X amount of people between X amount of time, that is it. And those people that are in there should be already ready to leave the establishment and another set come in. I think this would go well for, instead of people having to wait outside and people having to do what they have to do as far as the people are concerned, is do a time position on it. That is to say that we will serve at least 100 people between 10 and 11.
Well, I want to say to you that if you look at this problem, there are so many different aspects to it. I have somebody who says that they're a police officer, one of the people on the front line, and they have heard nothing about what is being put in place for them. And I mean, let's accept this, huh?
Yeah.
This is something that has come upon Barbados, I wouldn't say overnight, because this matter has been, it has been in the making since December, when the situation broke in Wuhan. And we have had information. We cannot even complain that we haven't had enough information on the matter. We've had information overload. We've had misinformation, disinformation. You get, you know, the whole gamut. We must say that the government has done a good job in sensitizing Barbadians. But there are some people who minimized it. Some people who said, oh, that won't come here. That won't touch us. And they never really paid attention.
I want to put a point to you. If you look at the obituary page on Sunday, and there are more than 25 in any one family. When you look at the family, family alone, you're not looking at family, friends, and associates. But having did a check yesterday, I realized that there's one family that has something almost 42 people in the family. So I don't know how they're going to sort it out. And that same obituary, they tell you have to at least be aware of the government's involvement in terms of social gathering. So I side with you that it's somewhere along the line that is one of the areas that we need to find out exactly how we can get around that. But I want to ask you a question, Mr. Ellis. Reliable, because I know that I could answer this. This coronavirus, as far as airwaves are concerned, short wave and medium wave, they say it travels along a particular line, right? I'm asking a question. Now, people want to say that part of this virus traveling is because of the amount of different cell or satellite terminals that are up.
Which people said that?
I hold on a minute. I don't believe in certain things. So I'm asking you if the consensus of this, that this, they want to say that this is some electronic-driven something based on the bounce off of these antennas that are various buildings across the world. And I am ignorant of it. I can't believe it. But sometimes people who you consider to be more aware of yourself put statements up there and start have to ask questions. Now, I know all over the world, there are antennas on buildings for a form of communication. I know that as far as communication is concerned, that the airwaves travel in a particular sequence. But I can't believe that somebody could come to the earth and tell the earth that the movement of this COVID-19 is as a result of these antennas.
Now, you know, the World Health Organization has had to put out some myth-busters, and perhaps they need to put out one on that. There's a myth-buster here that says that the coronavirus cannot be transmitted through mosquito bites. There's another one that says it can be, that a hot bath doesn't prevent the new coronavirus from spreading. So I've never heard that one. I'm more ignorant about it than you. And perhaps you heard that from one person, right?
I heard it from about two people, one person trying to convince me. And I tell him, well, look, I easily be convinced, but I can't be convinced on that one.
You know what I will tell you? You need to make sure that when you hear these things, you determine whether you heard it in a bar and at what time of the night you heard it. Because when the fellas are, not you, you don't drink, but when the fellas drinking, the other fellas drinking, they might lose it.
Listen.
I got to go, you. I got to leave you, though. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello. You're on the air.
Hey, morning, David. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. Good afternoon. It's 12:18.
Good afternoon. This is the fish gate, man.
Uh-huh. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. First thing, before going any further, I want to commend the government, right, doing the job that they're doing. I think that if the people obey the government and do what they're supposed to do, the government will be able to try other things and move on, and not just staying still, repeating and reiterating and drilling things into people. I think that people obey. You know, they will give everything a chance. And the thing about the ships, I commend the government with the ships too. Because imagine you go someplace and you can't get home. And I think they're cautious and professional about how they're doing it, because I saw it. All right? Next thing is, and off the phone, because they're thinking about other people too, right? I closed my business for 14 days.
Okay. From when? From today?
From yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, she traveled, right? And she went overseas for some medical attention because she had cancer, right? And we beat cancer. So she had to go overseas to get some stuff checked. But they wouldn't let her near the hospital when she got there because it was an outbreak. They wouldn't let her nowhere near the hospital. So she had to come back to Barbados. So seeing that she was on the airplane with other people, and there weren't much people on the airplane when the plane came in, it was like 6 or 8 people on the plane. She said, you know what? The possibility of me picking up something in the airplane is high. The possibility of you picking up something from me that I picked from the airplane I do not know is high. So therefore, we can go, and you know, we can go into quarantine. So shortly, seeing that she went overseas and she had respiratory issues and stuff like that, we going up to Paragon and to Paragon just now to get for her to get checked.
Well, I want
all
to
of that kind of stuff.
I want you to say to you that is a responsible thing to do in these circumstances. And there are other Barbadians whom we must applaud for taking that kind of responsible action. You know, it's easy for us to talk about the person who comes back from New York and goes partying and then spreads the virus. But to those many, many Barbadians who are acting responsibly, I suppose sometimes you can be ignored. We really want to thank you all for doing what you have done. And I know that I've spoken to people personally who have said to me, this is exactly the step that we've taken, because we cannot be so irresponsible to go there and let people come into contact with it.
You see, what kind of business person would I be? My ethics would then get to put in a question, you know? Like, okay, you know that this, and yet still you went and do that. You know, I love this country more than I love anything else, other than, you know, I love myself. But I love this country, I love the people in the country.
But so you know,
if you say if they love the people in this country and they love this country, why in the world would they go and put somebody else at risk?
Well, one of the things that you have to face right now is that as a Bajan traveling, you know, are going to be seen as somebody who should be quarantined when you go elsewhere because of the number of cases that we have here, and we don't know where they're going to end up.
Yeah, man. And you see, I did read, I heard you say something about a hot bath. I don't know about the hot bath, but there are doctors and there are health professionals, health professionals are saying that the virus isn't like heat. Right? So if you inhale steam, sometimes if you put some eucalyptus in the water, right?
That's proven?
These are things that, well, my wife started to do it last night, and it's working pretty well.
How you know?
Because she has respiratory issues, as I said.
They may be good for respiratory issues, but that does not mean that it will address the question of whether she is incubating the virus.
That is true, too, because when we leave Fargan today, right, we can make another attempt before she go back out to work, before she move back into society, if they would test her again. Even though she's seeing symptoms, because they say this thing is very deceptive.
Definitely.
Right? It's very deceptive.
But at least you take the precaution, and that's important.
You have to. How could you say you love people and humanity? How could you say you love people and humanity and want to do crazy things? Like put other people at risk.
Thank you very much for calling. I think what Mark was alluding to was some stories that have been circulating to the effect that there's a link between the virus and 5G. Now, that sounds so political. I mean, no, 5G, remember, to a large extent, the Americans and the Chinese have been working on 5G separately. The Americans have also been involved in a bitter feud with the Chinese over their development of 5G, the network, the fifth generation network for the internet, which is expected to speed up the processing of information and stuff like that. The internet would move much faster than it currently moves, and it would provide a lot more opportunities for services and that sort of thing. So it's not surprising to hear that this has come up, but others are saying it's nothing but a myth. It is not. It does not have any link. That is, 5G didn't cause the coronavirus pandemic. So I think that's what he was referring to when he was talking about transmitting the information or the virus or the two together. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, David. Am I on the air?
You are. Some people here, this person is complaining. My apologies, ma'am. Just hold on for this one. This person says, I have a question for you and the general public who call the program. I would like to hear their views. I'm a concerned citizen. I'm concerned about the behavior of travel agencies who are not refunding people who've had to cancel their travel due to this pandemic. The main concern is about non-refundable deposits, especially for groups who had to pay down $500, which is supposed to be non-refundable. My problem here is no one is traveling or allowed to travel at this time. This is not really the fault of the groups or persons who had booked and planned to travel, and those deposits should be refundable. The travel agencies are covered by insurance in case of crises such as the coronavirus, and this is dishonest of them to keep passengers' deposits. Yes, ma'am, what's your comment?
Hi, good morning, David.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. I was holding on for a while. I'm a first-time caller, and I am calling to ask a question. Are we relying on people who fly in to Barbados from yesterday taking personal responsibility to self-isolate for the 14 days after their arrival?
I thought that there was some element of a mandatory quarantine for 14 days. That's what I heard from the minister. How that is going to be enforced is another matter.
Okay, I'm asking that because of an incident or an experience that I had this morning in a government department. First, I'd like to say that the department did have very well-established protocols regarding social distancing and minimizing the number of people in the room at a time. And I would also say that I have already reported the incident to the CMO's office at the Ministry of Health, as well as spoken to the hotline. Because to be honest, I was absolutely petrified when this situation occurred. Can I go on?
Yes, please, quickly, because we're coming to the news. So tell us exactly what happened.
There was a gentleman in the office who was transacting business at the counter, and he was asked to have a seat because of whatever situation was being encountered and couldn't be dealt with at the time. He declined to have a seat, but he did move away, and he was standing relatively close to the security guard. He was coughing, but, you know, every cough is not something that you need to be concerned about, and he was not necessarily close to people. But what concerned me was that when the security guard asked him to have a seat, because the seating area was well removed from where the few people in the room were standing at the requisite distances, he said, he responded that he had flown in from New York So on hearing that, I was on my way out at this time. I said to the guard, did you hear and understand what that gentleman just said? And she said, yes, she had. But I am pointing out that it seems to be not a mandatory situation, because unless he was telling some sort of sick joke, he is out and about in public, and God only knows where he went
I've heard many complaints in recent hours about from people who felt that, you know, the situation at the airport is not as tight as it should be. I suppose, you know, ideally the people who are giving these updates need to be available sometimes to answer some of these questions. I mean, we do our best to assist in trying to feel some of the concerns and stuff, but I must tell you, at least a telephone call from some of these people would help to at least, you know, make people more aware of what is happening and how they're dealing with these everyday situations. I do not think that this situation of creating an update at the end of the day is enough for trying to respond to the concerns of Barbadians at this point in time. And I really would love to see a little bit more cooperation from them in this particular arena. This is Down to Brass Tacks. What may be relative lulls, this is one of the times of greatest activity. And I measure it not just by the people who call, but I'm measuring it by the interaction that we are having online as well. There is an upsurge in the number of comments and questions that people are raising. Now, somebody drew to my attention a short while ago this whole question of shopping in the supermarket. Whether the whole idea of restricting numbers was not related to the question of what were essential services. So for non-essential services, it is thought that there should be no more than 25 people in a group for non-essential services. But people see going to the supermarket as an essential service. It is about food. So does this whole idea and the requirement that you have no more than 25 people in a place really have a relevance to the supermarket? Now, I come back to the concern that I have here about the flow of information. The government has done a good job so far, but we all know that this is fluid. And in this fluid environment, there is a need to adjust. And part of the adjustment must be that when people raise questions that we don't have the answers for, then we have to pass those answers on to other people. There is a void at the moment, and I really hope that we can correct this void. It is not being out here beating our chests. There is a reality. This is one of the places that people turn to for information. And they're not sitting down waiting. These questions are not being answered at any update in the evening when the news people are questioning the powers that be. One or two of them may come up. But the time to answer these questions is here and now. and to set up some mechanism by which we will be able to get these types of questions answered, such as, does the 25 people requirement really apply to a supermarket? Is a supermarket considered to be an essential service? Or are we going to go through this process, or do we have to go through this process where people will line up in the sun waiting to get into a supermarket as this crisis continues? Hard choices, but the most important part of this is the information flow, the communication with people, and we have to set up different platforms for communicating with the people. This is down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Good afternoon. I am confused, you know. Can you explain to me what the stages is? Because I am confused. Before you go on, are we in a crisis where people in the community have this virus? Because I can't see how I could be putting on gloves and doing this and doing that for something that is not.
Come on, man, listen, be responsible.
Let me
make it quite clear to you why you have to be careful. Because yes, you don't know. Because there's a 14-day incubation period. And that there are people who carry the virus but don't show symptoms.
Yes, sir.
So out of an abundance of caution,
yes, sir,
you need to protect yourself because you may come into contact with somebody who is showing no symptoms but carrying the virus.
Okay. Well, are you understanding it? No, but I didn't understand it.
You didn't understand that before?
No, I didn't understand it so before.
All right, then. Well, I got to accept that there are people who will not grasp that information, even though we may assume that it has been said so many times that most people should have had it. But I accept that.
So okay? my reason for saying that is, if I am supposed to understand what the government is saying, I will quite believe what I know explained to you. Because if you come to the airport, Mr. Ellis, and they do the test or the whatever they do, and they find that you temperature high or this thing, so they should quarantine you.
No. Seriously, if they tested you, and you had a high temperature, you would be quarantined.
Right.
Okay. You would not. Perhaps they might not even just quarantine you. You will be tested.
Okay.
Okay.
So in other words, people are coming to the airport before being tested.
Well, this is where the dilemma lies for Barbados, as I understand it. I hear again, mm-hmm. it is better said by somebody who is involved in this, in the unit that is dealing with it. But my understanding is that because we, like so many other countries, don't have all the testing kits that will be required to test any and everyone, we are testing people who show the symptoms.
Okay.
All right? One expects that if a person has shown symptoms and has tested positive, then you go and trace their contacts, and their contacts are also tested. But there is a limit to how much testing we can do. I mean, if you stop and think about the number of tourists that we've had in the country, combined with the number of people who live here or those who are coming in through the air and sea ports, that's where the problem arises.
Ms.
We just
Ellis,
don't have enough.
I can tell you of a case of that I know for sure, where this lady came in from America, and there's an old lady, husband, boyfriend, and girlfriend that have the virus. But the kids, which is small children, don't have it. So the unit got to go and test and check them on mornings and things.
But they are tested by the unit.
They're tested by the unit. But what I'm saying is, this lady that came in, she should have never gotten in order to.
But you understand why that happened? That happened because Barbados had to keep its doors open to tourists from the United States and Europe. that was a plain decision. You know, you will block from China, but you don't have that many Chinese visitors. The visitors are coming from those other areas. And having made that choice, then there are consequences from that choice. If we went the other way and said we were going to quarantine the people coming in, then the consequences that would arise from doing that, which is that it might have hastened the shutting down of the tourist industry. So those are the choices that you have to make in hard economic times. That's where we are.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.